Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Oh, man. I just want to congratulate Sidney Crosby for that cute little hat trick he had last night. I mean, wasn't that just darling? You know, you come here and you score a nice little hat trick and your team still loses 6-3. But hey, good for you. I mean, that must have felt really, really nice to get that little hat trick. You know what I'm saying, Alfred? Like, the Avs won 6-3, right? So for all the goals that Sidney Crosby scored, the Avs scored twice as much. So they took care of that.
It's always nice winning individually, but it's way sweeter when you win as a team.
Yeah, those little hat tricks, they're so fun. It was so cute the way the Avs had a nice lead, and then they let the Penguins come back, and then they just buried them in the end. Just took care of business. So there's that. That's for sure. Alfred, my man, good to see you. Look at you. I was saying somebody the other goes, Alfred in hockey, and I go, Al wears an Avalanche sweatshirt all the time. What are you
not
talking
about?
Not
cold enough to wear it yet.
The hockey stuff.
I just, you know what I like? I like actually going to the games. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not the best at all of the history of the game. I know when I'm seeing great effort and I see when the other athletes are playing with passion, that I have a great eye for passionate play. And I think the best way to enjoy hockey, unlike football and possibly basketball and baseball, is to actually be in the arena when hockey is going on. I think that is absolutely the best case scenario. Do you agree or disagree? Of all the sports that are viewable in person, which one is the best?
Oh, man.
The rest you can watch on television. They do a great job.
Hockey's probably the worst on TV.
Right.
I don't know if it's the worst in person, but it's the worst on TV.
Right.
Because you can't see the puck. You really don't know what the hell's going on.
So you would think that, so you would say it in reverse. So you're saying that hockey does the worst job of covering its sport on television?
No.
That doesn't mean they do
the best they can. It's just
but I'm just saying, you don't like it, but you believe that it's the worst of the jobs that you can do as a television broadcast company.
Yeah, on TV, it's almost impossible to follow actually what's going on.
But
No offense to hockey. Okay. So you go to it in person and it's like, holy cow, this is pretty exciting.
Right, and I think
you can't tell how fast they really are on TV.
But it's also the chill in the air of actually being in the stadium and everybody is in a sweater, you know what I'm saying? it's a whole different deal, man.
You know, like that?
Yeah, I do. I love sweaters. You know, like a sweater weather to me is the best weather in the world.
Sweater weather. Oh, yeah, sweater weather is fantastic.
So When I love talking about the Rockies is actually after I actually go to a game.
The Rockies or the Avalanche or the Nuggets, whatever you like. You got some new glasses there?
Just more readers.
Holy cow! You buy them in 3-packs?
Oh yeah, I keep these things everywhere. Somebody needs to come up with it. You know, when I was over in
China. Those really help you? You buy glasses and?
Oh yeah, when I was over in China, I bought like 20 of them, and they're all gone.
How do you lose them?
Scotty taught me a trick when I worked with Scotty.
Oh, what was that?
The trick is leave a pair everywhere.
Like chargers, like phone chargers.
Right, but you can't really leave phone chargers because they tend to walk away.
Mm.
But you know, nobody's really taking the readers. So I leave a pair in my car.
I just don't even know how they work.
Dresser. I leave a pair. Yeah, I always have at least one pair here.
They're just
the
a generic prescription that fits everybody.
This is just my little easy reader, so I can see everything that I'm doing.
Yeah. You left two of them at the bar at Black Eyed Pea. You know? Three of them at Papa Do's.
How much do they cost each?
Like $20 for six bucks a piece.
Oh, wow.
What? It's a good deal.
I don't know. Glasses to me are such a big deal. You know, I mean,
not everybody has the expensive ones like you.
No, I have to have the expensive ones. I don't really have a choice.
You don't want to wear contacts?
I've tried. It's no good.
You don't like them?
No bueno.
See,
no good.
See, here's a great story. So during the week of, you know, the players and the groups that they support, Vaughn is, of course, supporting Vaughn's vision.
I love Vaughn's vision, yeah.
And that is something I think that is near and dear to me because I could never see. And as an athlete, all I needed to see in football was just the ball move.
Right.
If the ball moved, then I just go and attack the guy who has the football, whether it's the quarterback or the running back.
Mm.
But in basketball, it's a little different because, you know, everything is a little fuzzy outside of the paint.
Yeah.
So I didn't get my contact lenses until I got to the University of Colorado. I couldn't afford them.
Mm.
My family couldn't afford the exam and the actual contacts. And so when I got to the University of Colorado, they afforded me a pair of contacts and all of that. And I could see the basket. It was the most amazing. I can't even imagine, you know, playing baseball without good vision.
Well, I tell you what, it's incredible what a simple gift will do for you. And it's the fan season of hope. So for the $30 donation in the Hero of Hope campaign, you can get some readers. Forget that would be probably a great gift, right? It's all presented by AquaSpa. We're looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's New Life program some Christmas spirit and support. Those in the program have taken major steps towards being contributing members of our community, so we're happy to have AquaSpas on board to help provide them with a present for the holidays and year-long support. It's $30 to become a Hero of Hope. Of course, you can donate whatever you want. You can simply go to 1043thefan.com and thank you for contributing to the Fan Season of Hope presented by AquaSpas. Well, the Broncos are getting closer and closer to playing the Bengals. The morning show is those guys have got such a cute little show there, those guys in the morning. And, you know, it's really.
What happened today, man?
Oh, they're sweet. They're sweet. You know, they want to drum up. They're trying to. The radio station produced a promo that I'm on, saying that I'm not worried about the Bengals. And we're glad D-Mac is. We can sleep at night knowing D-Mac's not worried about it.
You weren't that worried about the Jets either, as I remember.
I was worried about
the
Jets.
No, you were not.
I thought the Broncos were going to win, but
you were not worried about the Jets.
I was worried about the Jets. The Jets presented problems
to me. You were not worried, dude. Just go ahead and own that.
I'm literally telling you what I remember saying about
it. I'm telling you what I remember.
Yeah. No, I was. I thought the Jets would be a tough game.
Our podcasts go back, Big Sexy.
They go all the way back. You want to dig up tape from before the Jets game?
Yeah, that's right, because I was like, man, you know, this game feels like it's a trap game or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got all those elements that you don't like.
A rookie quarterback, you know, throwing bunches of interceptions.
Then I heard Mike Evans literally just making things up on the fly about why he's afraid of Jeff Driskel. And
what do you mean?
And then they were trying to throw. So they're throwing me under the bus of the promo, which I had nothing to do with creating, by the way. And then it's, Emmanuel Sanders, he really works hard. Well, D-Mac doesn't like Emmanuel Sanders. Like, completely, completely and totally missing the point of what my criticism has been of Sanders over the years.
It's been his selfish nature about going about playing wide receiver.
That's right. And they don't explain that. Of course, they don't spend time with that. They never say, when they talk about me and the quarterbacks, I would just pick anybody. That's what they like to say. But they never mention that one of my bigger issues is getting a fifth-year option on a quarterback and that you can tag afterwards so you can keep a quarterback theoretically for 7 years instead of just losing him if you draft him in the second round. They never mention that. So it's really fun listening to their show and just being, like, completely misrepresented. I'm like, is there nothing else to talk about?
Do you talk to the radio?
You know, I just sit there and shake my head. Like, I guess if you want to twist people's words out of sorts and misrepresent what they say, I suppose you could do it. But we have said a million times, Emmanuel Sanders has been the best player on offense, and now you could make the argument maybe it's Philip Lindsay. But I was literally on the air saying Emmanuel Sanders is the number one receiver and should be paid as such. Literally was saying stuff like that this year.
I know I've been on record for at least 3 years saying that Emmanuel Sanders is our number one receiver, and it didn't make sense to extend Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, I know we all said that.
And I know a lot of people out there don't agree with that perspective, but I think I've been proven right here.
My argument around the trade deadline is you need to trade your more valuable assets, and Emmanuel Sanders is clearly more valuable than Demaryius Thomas.
But it clearly makes the Broncos a worse team.
I don't know. Really? I'm not sure about that. You know, DT caught two touchdowns for Houston the other day. Sanders is a great player, but we have a lot of great players. What I thought was a bad scenario was both of them together, like Demaryius and Emmanuel together. To me, that was no good. You know, I thought it didn't encourage the younger players. It put too much pressure on Case Keenum. Like, I've got to throw the ball to these guys.
No doubt about it.
And so you saw Case Keenum, without Demaryius Thomas around, isn't throwing interceptions. But you may have seen that also if Emmanuel Sanders wasn't around. Because the pressure to get it to these two guys, who are not shy, by the way, about saying they should get the ball thrown to them. We know that, right? See, that's what I love about when like the morning show just talks about how awesome Sanders is. They never say anything critical. Like, there's never anything that's like
critical.
Oh my Lord, it is just a smooch fest all morning.
Is it really?
Oh my, it's unbelievable.
I had no idea it was like that.
Oh, it is. It is. They want to ignore the legal problems that Sanders was in, and the accusations of his girl saying he, you know, missed a practice because he wanted to party. They don't pay any attention to that.
Nothing wrong with a good party.
Nothing wrong with a good party.
But if you miss practice, there's something wrong with a party.
Nothing, you know, nothing critical about, you know, hey, we're 3-0, but throw me the ball more, Hollywood Diva, all that sort of stuff. But what we've realized with Sanders, as long as he's not the loudest voice as a leader in the locker room, then you're okay. As long as you're isolated, non-captain, Hollywood diva sort of guy, then that's okay. The problem is when you don't have other strong personalities around. But fortunately, the Broncos do. So Sanders is completely mitigated. And now without Demaryius Thomas, he's taken it on himself to, you know, step up. He's declared himself the number one receiver at least 3 times. You know, he said it, you know, out in Dove Valley. He said it on NFL Network. You know, everybody knows that he's the number one guy here. And he should get more money, by the way, Al. And they should extend him. And you're getting to the point where you've got to think about, sort of got to think about who you want on your team next year. There's no doubt you should want Emmanuel Sanders on your team next year. But look who they don't want on their team. Just before the show started, A.J. Johnson was released by the Broncos, and Jeff Holland was added to the 53.
And I didn't understand the A.J. Johnson release because
he shouldn't have been on the team in the first place.
Hold on, dude. Why not?
Oh, my Lord. Because of his court case. Because of 3 years of not playing football and the details of his court case that people agree about.
Now this is what I'll tell you about Jeff Holland versus A.J. Johnson. Jeff Holland is a natural pass rusher. Pass rusher value is much greater than that of a middle linebacker.
Jeff Holland seems like a great guy.
The second piece of this is this, and this is where you start to understand why they let A.J. Johnson go. In this league, if you can't cover running backs, you're out. If you can't cover tight ends, you're out. He's not that kind of linebacker. He is a downhill, smash-mouth linebacker, and that doesn't work in this league anymore. If you can't cover running backs, you're out. If you can't cover tight ends, you're out. So that's the new NFL.
He was a guy on the bubble that they were using to develop. They thought he would get signed up by another team if they stuck him on practice squad. And you know what? They should have let him go. They shouldn't have paid any attention to it. They let him go. They let Pac-Man Jones go. They've let Marquette King go.
They
got rid of Isaiah McKenzie. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. So and I understand the biggest reason why A.J. Johnson was let go was because Shaquille Barrett is hurt now and Jeff Holland is a more logical replacement, and they just had to get rid of somebody. And I guess they haven't quite had the courage to just release DeMarcus Walker yet, which is going to happen, obviously. And that's only happening because the dude just, I mean, according to the Broncos, DeMarcus Walker can't play football. That's all that is. But A.J. Johnson shouldn't have been here in the first place. Glad he's gone. Pac-Man Jones shouldn't have been here in the first place. Glad he's gone.
You're not here. You don't want him here because of character issues.
That's right.
Is that right?
That is 100% right.
Even though he was acquitted of anything of wrongdoing?
That's right.
Really?
Yes.
You have to tell me more about this, dude.
You got
to
read his case. I can't even talk about it on the air. I cannot even describe the details. I can't even talk about what everybody agrees on. I can't even discuss the details of what everybody... There's no arguments about.
Let us in.
The details of the case are such that I can't do it on the radio.
When were they released?
It's all over the place. It was a three-year trial. The details of the case have been out there for a while. What is it that everybody agrees about? I can't talk about it on... I'll tell you off the air. I can't. It would take too long. It would literally take too long. I can't do it. I'm happy to tell you off the air, but this guy just didn't need him. And I like teams.
Apparently, everybody else in the NFL was looking at him.
Hey, man, go
have
him.
The same way the Broncos were.
And the Redskins picking up Reuben Foster. Good luck. Have fun with that.
Do you believe the charges?
Yeah, I do believe the charges.
This is somebody who just recently, D-Max, said that, you know, he did not touch her.
Yeah.
And she lied about it.
Well, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said they didn't need him anymore.
John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan said that they didn't need Reuben Foster was simple.
Why?
They said that if your name appears again in conjunction with any legal problems, you're gone.
Hey, there you go.
Did you hear Doug Williams on the radio today talking about the Reuben Foster signing?
No, what do you say?
Well, he was asked if he expected the volume of attention that Reuben Foster signing garnered. And he called, here, I have the audio if you want to hear it.
Let's hear it.
Now, as a everything is difficult in terms of trying to win. For a guy that's not going to be in uniform on Monday night, did you expect the volume of attention that this has garnered, or did you expect it?
Oh, yeah. We knew that was going to happen. I mean, and like I say, rightfully so, with all the stuff that is going on in this country. You know, we got people who are in high places that has done far worse if you look at it realistically, and you know, they're still up there. So at the same, this is small potatoes to a lot of things out there. But at the same time, it's a big issue in America today, whether or not it's in football, whether or not it's in everyday life, whether or not it's in politics. It's out there.
I don't even know what that means. I don't know what he's talking about.
I think what he's trying to say is that
it's not a big deal because there's...
No, I think what he's trying to say
sounds
is...
What he's,
it
what
sounds
he's
like he's saying that in the grand scheme of things, in society, this allegation, until proven, is small potatoes.
Yeah, that's what I just said. It's not a big deal. Small potatoes, not
until
a big
proven,
deal.
Though.
Same thing.
Until proven.
It's a weird opinion to take.
And you know what? You know,
because you're not asking him to compare this one case to society. You're just asking, say, is this the type of guy you want on your team? To me, the answer is no. But Redskins, have fun.
But you know,
best of luck.
You know, this is why I always have a problem with you. You're so quick to judge before all the facts are in.
Yeah.
It's just like any allegations, he's out.
That's so untrue. And
I mean, give me one example when something was alleged and you said, let's wait and see it. Let's wait and see what the details bring.
Carlos Henderson.
What about Carlos Henderson?
I said, let's wait and see.
About what?
About his allegations with the marijuana.
What do you mean? He was arrested for marijuana.
Yeah, I said, let's wait and see how it rolls down.
I think you're okay with marijuana. I think that with him being arrested for marijuana when it's legal in Colorado, I think that you're okay with that.
I gave you an example.
You didn't wait and see on that.
I did.
You were easily convinced that there was nothing wrong with Carlos Henderson.
Are you challenging me about AJ Johnson, Pac-Man Jones?
Yeah, I'm challenging
you. Are you challenging me about those two guys?
Not just those.
You challenge me on like the 13
and
arrests
also,
of Pac-Man Jones,
Ruben
the three
Foster
times that he had violent behavior to women, the time that he spit on a nurse and had to be retained by Hannibal Lecter. Really? That's an issue? Reuben Foster? I don't know what the deal with AJ Johnson. You can read the case.
So
you can read what that's all about.
If somebody has some issues, let me make sure I get this right. If somebody has some issues in their background,
what are the issues?
What about multiple DUIs?
Multiple DUIs would be a problem to me for sure.
Get them off the team.
Multiple DUIs? How many? Three?
Two is multiple.
Two DUIs would be a lengthy suspension by the NFL. I'd probably
what
be fine
about
with
somebody,
that.
Addicted?
I'd be fine with that.
How about, you'd say what?
Well, it's probably...
Say that again.
What's the suspension by the NFL?
Hold on.
I'd be fine with the suspension levied by the NFL.
Okay, so it's a
which
four
is
game,
what, after it, two?
It's probably, I think it's an eight-game suspension.
Then I'd be
two.
Fine with that. What else?
Okay, how about somebody who is addicted to painkillers? Addicted to painkillers.
I have no.
How do you deal with that?
I don't know. I'm not a painkiller counselor. Don't know.
What do you, you want that
breaking,
guy out the
are
league?
Are breaking
you,
the? No,
do
no.
Do you want that guy out the league?
No.
So if he has a substance abuse issue, you're okay with it.
With the NFL punishment, I'm fine with the NFL punishment for that. Yes.
For whatever there is
for substance abuse. Yes, unless his behavior causes somebody else harm.
Oh, well, you mean like a death?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess Leonard Little couldn't play in your NFL.
That's right. He could not.
Okay.
That
Nor
is
could
correct.
Dante Stallworth.
Nor could Dante Stallworth. Yes. Keep going.
I'm going to come up with a list of yeses
now,
and nos.
Go to the question you want. Violence against women. Violence against women. Bye-bye. See ya.
Even if it's just an allegation.
See ya.
An allegation.
No, not necessarily an allegation.
So when do you make that determination?
When I have proof and evidence.
So is it wrong that a team signs a guy and is vetting the process until they get all the facts?
Yeah, I would wait until you have the facts until you sign a guy. I would,
okay.
Yes. I would
even
be more conservative on that,
why?
Yes.
Why? Why would you
because
be conservative if he's
I regard women highly, and I wouldn't rush to sign a guy who may have violence against women. I would wait on that guy.
Even
big
though
time.
The person who is alleging this incident just recently came out and said she lied about it.
Who are you talking about?
This is the Reuben Foster case, D-Mac. Are you not following
the
what's
Reuben
happened?
Foster case? Okay, so what? So you were asking me about Reuben Foster?
Yeah,
I would stay away from Reuben Foster
because
he had issues in his past before the draft, and now he's had this other allegation. Now he's had John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan say they don't want him on the team anymore. That's enough for me. I would not want anything
so
to do with Reuben Foster.
Somebody else's perspective.
Would you want Reuben Foster on the Broncos?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't.
I haven't seen Reuben Foster play, but if he was a playmaking Jesse, I would highly consider it.
Well,
absolutely.
That's fine.
I would highly consider
that's
it.
That's your team.
And that's, you know what?
You have your team, I have my team.
That's right. Your team probably won't win many games.
I can look in the mirror. I'll be okay with that.
Okay. You know what? You probably won't be a general manager for very long.
Okay. Fine.
So you speaking as the owner?
So you're taking me to the woodshed. Like, the owner's going to come to me and say, hey, D-Mac, you did not hire enough guys that had...
No, you didn't make my team competitive enough.
Questions about their behavior against
everybody
women.
Everybody has a one-strike rule against in these particular cases.
I'm getting fired as a GM because I didn't sign enough high-risk guys.
No, because you don't win games.
Well, what's to say I can't win games? Why can't I win games?
But if you can find the right mix of guys that have no blemishes on their record... By the way, Von Miller couldn't play for you.
Von Miller doesn't have violence against women.
No. Because he had a substance abuse violation.
He took a league suspension.
As long as the league suspends him and he comes back.
For substance abuse, yes.
No. If there is a league suspension.
No, for substance abuse.
Could Ray Rice play for you?
What's that?
Could Ray Rice play for you?
No, he could not. No way.
Okay.
Not in a million years.
So he couldn't play for you?
No.
Okay, and you're saying now.
Could he play for you?
Could Ray Rice play for me?
Yeah.
If the league suspended him for, call it 18 months, and he was a fantastic running back, and he looked like that he had repaid his debt to society and to his wife, yes, He's employable again.
Could Colin Kaepernick play for you?
Absolutely.
He could play for me, too.
I've got a good one right here. Sean Smith, cornerback.
Sean Smith hit his girlfriend's brother, went to jail.
Out of jail.
Went to jail for hitting his sister's boyfriend because he was assaulting her, apparently, and went to jail for it for, I think, 18 months, right?
And now I think he got released early with good time or with a good behavior.
14 months or so.
But right now he has been suspended by the NFL, I believe, an extra 8 games. So after that 8-game suspension, is that somebody you would consider signing to your team?
No. Al?
Probably. Probably because
every situation is different.
Because but I was the same guy that said Michael Vick should be signed by the Broncos, and everybody in Denver, Colorado thought I was the worst guy in the world.
I'd sign Michael Vick. Served his punishment. Was justifiable for the crime.
Why didn't Sean Smith?
Plaxico Burress, I would sign Plaxico Burress. Oh. Got his punishment. Aqib Talib, I'd sign Aqib Talib.
Well, wait a minute. How come Sean Smith couldn't be signed?
For me, no. He'd be out.
Why?
Violence against women.
He beat up the boyfriend that was assaulting his sister.
Oh, okay. He beat up the guy?
That's what I'm telling you.
He went to jail after beating up a guy? Yeah.
Allegedly beat up his sister's boyfriend and stomped on his head.
I could, maybe. Maybe on that one. Maybe on that one, yeah.
All right, man. I got to get you into a state where you can stop flip-flopping on this stuff. Because, I mean, sometimes I'm just sitting over here.
So now you accuse me of flip-flopping when I have not flip-flopped at all on anything.
Well, it sounds like you
literally
you're
not
okay
flip-flopped
with
on anything.
Some things, but things that are...
Yes, I'm okay with some things and not okay with other things, specifically violence against women.
I understand. So that means that if you've ever had violence against women in your job as a manager, you can never be hired.
Fine by me.
You would run that search on every employee, no matter what business you were doing?
Sure.
You would?
Sure.
Mm.
That's okay. Not somebody I'd want to work for me.
Okay.
When we come back, the season of hope.
Twisted.
Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Well, we're just going to put the Big Three on pause here for today because we're in the middle of the Fan Season of Hope presented by Aqua Spas, where we're looking to provide the men of the Denver Rescue Mission's New Life program some Christmas spirit and support. When Frank Reynolds arrived at the crossing from Florida, he felt spiritually broken. What got Frank to that point?
I was alone, you know, no family, no loved ones. I went to work. I mean, work was my only thing I had. And then, I don't know, just things started changing. And I started opening my eyes a little bit more.
What has it meant to have this New Life program as a part of your life now?
Being here, this is the happiest I've been in a long time. So, it works. You got all these people, their job is to, you know, help you understand what's going on. And my eyes are open more. You know, I have a better view of life.
Anything you would ask for, if you ask for a gift?
If I was going to ask for it for myself, that's being selfish. What I'm just saying, I'm just glad people do donate. Because it does show me that people have compassion. There's people out there that care for one another. And I think that's the greatest gift you can ever get.
You know, you can hear the thankfulness and sincerity in Frank's voice. And now you have the opportunity to contribute to this cause and give men like Frank a second opportunity in life and in our Denver community. Simple. Go to 1043thefan.com to provide a monetary gift of support. One donation of $30 makes you a hero of hope. And thank you for contributing to the Fan Season of Hope presented by Aqua Spa. When we come back, one of our favorite guys in the broadcast business, that is Dave Lapham, who is famous for interrupting his broadcast partner during exciting plays for the Bengals. But Dave is a Cincinnati legend. And if anybody can tell you how bad the Bengals are, it'll be Dave Lapham coming up next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
First and 10 at the 28-yard line. Driscoll fakes a handoff to Mixon, throws it over the middle, crossing route, caught, and Tyler Boyd runs into the end zone for a Bengals touchdown.
It is my pleasure to bring on a fellow Syracuse University alum. That's Dave Lapham. All the best broadcasters went to Syracuse. That's how you learn how to broadcast like this.
First and goal at the 2. Driscoll tries to run a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Mixon shoves him from behind. The Bengals are signaling touchdown.
He's in. Yeah.
And the officials agree. And the Bengals have pulled within 2 touchdowns.
Dave, I mean, we'll start off with the question everybody wants to know. How about our Syracuse Orange this year in football? I mean, it just was... It was awesome, a return to greatness for the Orange. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you get ready to lose your coach, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was a good run. I wish that Notre Dame game had gone a little bit better. But other than that, it was a great run for the Orange, no question about it.
You think we're losing?
Big Al.
You think we're losing? You think we're losing Dino Babers? You think he's gone?
Dino Babers?
Yeah.
He could be.
Could he be going to Cincinnati?
I don't know. I don't think he'd go from Syracuse to Cincinnati. I don't think he'd do that.
Well, I'm trying to get to it in kind of a what's going on with Marvin Lewis.
Oh, I thought you meant the Bearcats because
I meant I don't know, maybe he could go to the Bearcats. How's Marvin Lewis doing these days? What's new in that land?
Well, he's struggling. He's the defensive coordinator since he's been defensive coordinator 0-2. And I'll tell you, it's confusing because they have some talent on that defensive football team, but man, they're just making it too hard. Football's not that hard, man. They're just, everything is too difficult. Everybody's trying to do 5 things instead of doing the 1 thing they're supposed to do. And it looks like a fire drill out there, man. They're just so undisciplined and guys are dropping coverage. I mean, against Baltimore, I had a linebacker drop coverage on a crossing route, because he thought the quarterback was going to scramble out of the pocket, and he just throws it over his head for a 26-yard completion, and they got Tucker for a kicker, and he comes in and drills a 56-yarder. I mean, stuff like that, just stupid mistakes that are being made are definitely a problem. It could be one of these weeks the defense could wake up and all of a sudden put it together and play well, and everybody's going to be, where the hell's that been? Because there is some talent with two Pro Bowls up front, and they have, you know, number one draft picks on the back end that can – should be able to play pretty well. I mean, that's the makings of a decent defense in the NFL. They're kind of the same formula that Denver's, you know, doing with their 2 outstanding pass rushers and then 2 cover guys in the back end. But the Bengals aren't even sniffing mediocrity. They're horrifically bad. They're setting all-time records. I mean, they're giving up over 30 points a game and over 400 yards a game, you know, every single week. It's crazy.
And, you know, and a lot of that, like you said, is self-inflicted. I'm watching guys, you know, D-Mac is asking me, well, I'm telling them, man, they got so much talent on that defensive line. It's ridiculous. And then you turn on the tape and you see guys actually getting sacks and getting to the passer. And if it's just tip balls and then, you know, there's a penalty for holding in the secondary or something. I mean, I'm watching this on film and I'm like, I remember what that feels like, Dave.
I hear you, Condor. You're for a sack, man. No, I hear you. They had 13 penalties for like 96 yards. Penalties. They had a hold in every phase. They had holding in the offensive line, holding on the defense in the secondary, and holding on special teams, nullifying 2 good returns. I mean, it is. A lot of it is self-inflicted. It's not only. The opponent on their schedule. They get themselves on their schedule every week in some way, shape, or form.
And I want to ask you about this because Hugh Jackson, to me, is one of the better play callers in the NFL. And I know it didn't work out there in Cleveland, but what contributions, if any, will he have there in Cincinnati? Because we all understand and know that he can doctor up a game plan to get guys going as an offensive coordinator. He's been great at it. He was part of the reason that Cincinnati had the huge turnaround.
Yeah, I think what his role is, Bill Lazor, they really like what he was doing with the offense before it all, you know, fell apart with injury. I mean, the Bengals right now, A.J. Green will be back, it looks like, for this football game, but he'd missed some games. You've got Andy Dalton on injury reserve now. Tyler Everett's been on injury reserve since week three. The three best football players offensively are A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, and Tyler Eifert, and all three of them, they haven't played together at any point during the season after the first couple of weeks. I mean, they're 4-1 after five games. They're off to a great start, 34 points a game in the first two games. They score 34 in each game. And that, so I look at the flip card from that game when they finish against Miami and they're 4-1. Of the 46 players on that football team, 23 of them now will have missed a game or more.
Wow.
And 14 are on injury reserve.
Wow.
That's crazy, man. It really is. It's crazy.
Yeah, and what I was saying is look at how these two teams got to 5-6. And right. And it's, you know, we're hearing some chit-chat about, oh, the Bengals this, the Bengals that. And I'm like, yeah, that was in the first 5 weeks of the season. Go back and watch their last month. It's a house of horrors. And, I mean, and at home, too. And it's one thing to be humiliated by the Saints, okay? The Saints are great.
Right.
But you were humiliated at home by the Browns and Baker Mayfield. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. I mean, down 28-0 to the Cleveland Browns in the first half. And you know, when you look at it, they're 1-3 in the division. They split with Baltimore, beat them by two scores in Cincinnati when they had their team intact, and then went to Baltimore, you know, beaten up and lost by a field goal. They lost with a little over a minute to go in the football game. Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals have a lead with 1:08 to play. Ben goes on a drive, and they lose that football game. But so all the division games were competitive until Cleveland. Cleveland comes in and smokes them, and that just tells you the Cleveland Browns, Greg Williams was saying, you know, they're as healthy as they've been since training camp. They haven't lost anybody. And the Bengals have a different football team. I mean, the team they had in the first month of the season when they went 4-1, it's a much different team than what they got right now. They don't have the players to put up the performances they were putting up in the first five games of the week.
You know, the young quarterback that's entering into the game, I'm watching him on tape, Driscoll, and I got to tell you, man, that dude looks like a first-round draft pick to me. He runs 4.5. He has a rocket for an arm. I don't know what happened to him at Florida, but he looked great while he was at La Tech, and he slipped in the draft. You guys have him. He looks like an NFL player. What's the deal, and why did he go so low, and is he as good as he looked in that fourth quarter against the Browns?
I think he's going to be a surprise. I think people are going to be not shocked, but they're going to be a little bit surprised with the numbers he might put up. I mean, he knows their offense well. He's done a good job preparing. He's been around for 3 years. I mean, he went 11-3, I think, or 11-2. His first year that he was at Florida, he was recruited by Urban Meyer to take the place of a guy named Tim Tebow. And like you said, he's 6'3", 6'4", 233 pounds.
Looks the part.
He runs 4.5.
Yep.
And he got drafted by the Boston Red Sox as a center fielder. He's been drafted in both sports. So the kid's an athlete. There's no doubt about it. He broke his leg at Florida and ended up having issues and transferred to Louisiana Tech and put up like, you know, big numbers of Louisiana Tech, got drafted by the 49ers, and they had four quarterbacks at training camp, and he got kind of lost in the mix there. And the Bengals picked him up, put him on the practice squad, and they've been developing him. I mean, they like him. I mean, the guy, he had a 28-yard bootleg run against New Orleans Saints and was running over 21 miles an hour when he scored. I mean, he had one of the fastest clock speeds on the season. The dude is a big guy that can motor.
So, Dave, do you give the Bengals a shot this week, or are we folding the tents there in Cincinnati?
No, I think that they're probably get a little shot of of enthusiasm with the newness at the quarterback position.
Okay.
I think everybody is kind of counting them out. Hey, the way I look at it, if Buffalo went to Minnesota early in the season and spanked the Vikings in right. Minnesota, anything can happen there. Anything.
My partner hates that. He hates the fact that I say that anything can happen any weekend.
I understand it, but when you're looking forward or previewing games, if you're leaning on the anything can happen analysis, you know you're in pretty tough shape. And anything can happen. I'm not saying it can't. But when that's one of your things, hey, anything can happen, you realize it's probably a long shot for you to win. Let me ask you this.
When the Denver Broncos were losing at Baltimore, losing to Kansas City, losing at the New York Jets, and got run on for 300 yards, losing at the Rams, when they went on that losing streak, what were you thinking?
Fire Vance Joseph. I mean, all right, Dave, we got to run, and we always love talking to you.
I miss you, buddy.
And we appreciate your call. And thanks for calling Alfred Condor. That's his favorite nickname.
He's the man.
All right.
Whooping in for those sacks now.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Dave Lapham. I know you hate that nickname.
I don't hate it. It's just that it was my Cincinnati nickname.
Right.
You know, it's just not who I am now.
Do you hate that more or Meep Meep?
I don't hate any one of them.
Okay.
I mean, if one of my teammates from those teams saw me, I mean, they call me Hot Plate here in Denver.
Well,
I
know that, but that's a good nickname. Shannon always calls.
Is it?
I always thought so. Am I wrong?
I don't know. Maybe.
Tell me.
I don't know.
It's your nickname.
I'm just living every
day. Get in my belly.
You know what, Big Sexy?
Hey, man, have you ever watched the Shannon Skip Show?
I have.
Really?
I have.
How long can you hang in there with that show for?
I'm a couple segment guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love my homeboy now.
Nah, yeah.
That's what I tell people the baby's ugly. I give them the truth.
All right. The hot seat, the warm seat, the cold seat. With there's a evaluation of coaches. We can go over that. There's breaking news with the Broncos in terms of the quarterback situation. If you missed that, wait till you hear that next.